everybody, welcome back to the Manufacturing Spring Podcast special bonus edition Alaska trip. If you have listened to the Manufacturing Stream podcast, you will know that every week we talk a little bit about fishing because that's our passion. We talk manufacturing, 4.0, industrial transformation, lean manufacturing, but every week we pepper a little bit of fishing. But I will tell you what, these two guys sitting at the table with me, Mark Jenkins, my co-host Phil Anderson, myself, and five other guys.
Nine of us total.
We left Utah a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
Went up to Alaska, up to Cordova, Alaska, on the Alagnac River. Is that where we were? What river were we on?
A little bit of the Alagnac Slough, right? The Ibeck, right?
And some tributaries of. Of all of those in that area.
We have to be careful, Eric, not to give exact location.
No.
We want to save those holes.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Because we did find,
There's a fair amount. I'll tell you what, ever since I've started going, which has been, I started going in 2006 when we were going to Yakutat.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, over the last 10, 12 years, we've been doing Cordova, right?
Yeah.
There are a lot of people from Utah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's been like this little permeating.
In Cordova now.
Yeah.
It's like the word gets out pretty soon, you know.
Maybe we should start the podcast over and not talk about where we're at. You want to do that? I mean, we can definitely do that.
There's a lot of river.
A lot of river. And I'm going to tell you what, boys. I learned a lot.
And there's a lot of fish.
But there's a... Let me just say this. This is not power bait on the side. You said it best while you were up there. This is not a vacation.
Yeah.
This is an adventure. You're not on vacation when you go up there.
And your fish catch is directly related to your willingness to work for them.
Yes.
Yes. People think of Alaska. Oh, you catch fish every day.
You're going to stand there and tuna boat them in.
It's you got to work for them.
Yes.
And sometimes that's secondary for some people.
But well, and
for
especially us, the primary. Silvers. Especially the silvers because, you know.
Yeah, we were catching silver salmon. That's what we went up there for,
It's not like you're snagging sockeye.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you're catching silvers. Silvers are aggressive.
Yes.
They're coming up river. They're aggressive fish. You put that fly, the right fly in front of them, and they're going to hit it.
Yeah.
And it's game on.
And let me tell you what,
it's Jack. It's mostly they're pissed.
They're just pissed.
Yeah, they're pissed.
They're just a pissed off fish.
And you really know you got one on when you hook one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. They're just a pissed off fish.
Let's first talk about the travel, because I think it's important that we build a story here, that we talk a little bit about the travel. So the first thing, I mean, Phil and I booked our travel in January, when we started doing the podcast. But so you travel into Anchorage, spend the night in Anchorage, and then you get up and take another flight into Cordova. There's only one flight into Cordova every day, right, from Anchorage. So you got to be on that sucker. You're going to miss it for that day.
Yeah. Now, there are other flight options. Like Mark, he goes through Alaska Air, but we did ours through Delta. You could take that early morning Delta flight out of Salt Lake to Seattle, Seattle to Anchorage, and hope you make that connection.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a roll of the dice.
And right.
So
basically Alaska Air does two trips to Cordova, and it's just a shuttle.
It's an up and down.
They start in Seattle. They go to from Seattle, they go to Juneau, then they go to Yakutat. Then they stop at Cordova, and then they go to Anchorage, and they turn it around.
And they
do
go
the
back.
Exact same thing. They go from Anchorage, Cordova, Yakutat, Juneau, Seattle.
So however you want to get up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you have to use Alaska Air, Delta, or other airlines.
They don't go into Cordova.
Right. At some point, you have to get on Alaska Air.
So this is the important part, because then you land in the thriving metropolis airport of Cordova, Alaska. Right?
Thriving.
And it's only thriving because all 180 people that are on that airplane
try to fit into the room about the size of this studio, right?
Right. And you're waiting for all the gear to come off of that.
Yes. And then once you get your gear.
By the way, just to correlate with flow. Yeah. That process, as I do that process every year, I'm like, what in the crap? We got to fix this. Because there is no process flow whatsoever.
Right. There were people standing on the luggage racks. They're like hanging around, you know. And we all got 2-3 bags of stuff. And everybody's carrying a fishing pole. Yeah. Everybody's got a backpack.
And I'm like, come on, man. The guys that are standing in front, if it's not their luggage, they're not touching it. I'm like, you got this big crowd of people who can't see when you're... I'm like, come on, guys, pull that just off. Let's get some flow going here.
Right. Yeah.
Because ultimately, that thing fills up, and the guy trying to unload, he can't unload it
because nobody's pulling it. Everybody's standing in the back.
Yeah, everybody in the back. Their stuff's at the front.
We talk a lot about automation. There's no automation.
Zero automation.
None.
Cordova International Airport.
Cordova International. CIT is or CIA or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
So then really here's the kicker. Now comes the rental car thought process. Okay, so let me tell you about this. If you've never been there, and you know what's funny is that I was talking with a guy the other day. He was talking about going to Yakutat, and he starts talking about the rental cars and the trucks up there.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. Same thing. So we get the rental truck, and what we talked about, we need a tetanus shot for this because it's like a 1998 Chevy Suburban, 188,000 miles on it.
Yeah. And you get in it, and it stinks to high heaven. Right. I mean, you came right out of the French whorehouse.
It's had 20 years of fishermen in waders and fish loaded into the back of this Suburban.
Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful smell.
That's what it's there for.
Probably only a turnaround of maybe 20 minutes since the guy just turned it in.
Right. Yeah. And it takes months to get that smell out of your equipment.
Yeah. I still smell like that Silverado. Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, that was awesome.
Unless Mike goes with us, because then Mike, he spends the last day.
Meticulously.
I mean, Febreze.
He ain't taking none of that stuff home.
He takes that thing back in pristine condition.
Yeah.
I mean.
Hey, funny story. You talk about Yakutat having the same problem. So when I first started fishing Alaska, it was Yakutat. And the rookie event is you go from the airport to the dump in Yakutat, where these humongous grizzly bears are just perusing through the dump.
Yes.
And you take him, you take a rookie to the dump, you say, see that bear? You want to avoid those bears. So we're at my first time, we're in Yakutat. We land, we go to the dump. My brother-in-law's with me. I open the van door. This is like a Arrow van or, GMC Safari or something like that. Slide the opening door open. It slides to the end, hits the end. The door falls off. Literally falls on the ground. And I'm looking at a 500, 600, 700 pound grizzly, not paying attention to this, but I'm in a kind of a worry mode. We got to get this door back on in case this grizzly, it was unbelievable to watch that door fall off 50 yards away from the biggest grizzly I've ever seen in my life. I'm like, let's get out of here.
Welcome to Alaska.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the other thing that I thought was really cool is that you didn't. Well, we went and dropped some stuff off, but these guys, you go right to fishing.
No, it's
like you can almost wear your waders on the airplane.
I've done that before.
Really?
I've actually put my waders on in the airport.
Oh yeah,
in Cordova. Really? Yeah.
Yeah. So you hit the river on the way out of the airport. You don't even go to the lodge.
Right. Because I carry on all the stuff that.
Yeah.
That you know, I could care less if they lose my.
Shower bag.
Right. But you know what? I want my waders, my wading jacket, my rod, my flies. I want that carried on with me.
Well, I really appreciate you guys taking it easy on me the first time because we didn't really hike all that far the first day. Right. No. We didn't hike all that far. But I will tell you, I was following Phil down the river and he's headed down the river. We're headed to, I don't know where we're going. I'm following him. And And he's just like barreling off like in the river in front of people. And I'm behind Phil. I'm like, sorry, I'm sorry. He's like walking in front. Sorry. He's like, and then one guy, like we went and you like walked right off the, yeah, right into the river and started walking right where he was fishing. And he turned and looked at his buddy and his buddy just laughed. And that's when I walked by. I was like, sorry, I'm just following him. I'm sorry. You know, because we're.
He's a man on a mission.
He was a man on a mission. Hey, no, the thing is. In that case, so it had been raining.
Yeah.
Everything was high.
Yeah.
The trail that you would have normally taken, yeah, it's
underwater. It's underwater.
Underwater.
So you got to walk in the water.
You're just walking down the water.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what? Here's the thing. You can walk through that hole, and 5 minutes later, those fish are going to be full of fish.
Well, that's what I found out. Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
So as soon as they realize that, they'll understand that, hey, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it was awesome. And then we got in there, and it was, I don't know how long was it before we actually started catching fish.
Yeah,
I
mean, it took a bit.
It wasn't that great, right? Within the first.
And this, you know, to Phil's point, there's so much, they had so much water the week before. The river that we fished the first night is normally not a river.
Oh, really?
That's all overflow. And so we've done well there in years past, but it took us an hour before we hooked up.
Start catching.
But there's days we didn't even fish you didn't. I did. Right. You didn't even fish the lower Ibeck.
Yeah.
No.
Normally we go down where we did down that tributary.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we cut off and head over to the lower Ibeck. And we'll stand like linebackers out in the water stacked across there.
Yeah.
Waiting for these wakes of silvers to come up. We never did that this time
because
the water was just too high.
Really?
There's nothing in the world like fishing wakes.
Nothing.
It is the most amazing thing. And we've had years where it's phenomenal and years where.
Yeah. This year wasn't a great, it wasn't a good wake year. We went down to the slough several times. I tried to get Cade. Cade hates, he'll probably never want to go
to the slough. Yeah, I'm right.
Because
with
every time we went to the slough, it was raining, it was blowing sideways. We try to time it with the tide. And I'm telling him, hey, when these wakes start coming,
it's game on.
It's money.
So what we're talking about wakes is that you can actually see the fish as they move up. They start to create wakes on the top of the water.
Yeah, so you don't see the fish.
You don't see the fish.
You see the wave that they make coming up as a pod of fish.
And that's in generally that's in about 18 to 24 inches. If it gets deeper than that, then
you don't see the wakes.
We're catching them out of the holes. You don't see the wakes. But
But
the one hole that we were in that we found down at that one place that we're not going to talk about, you know, it was pretty cool. Once we found that hole, you could definitely see them as they start coming up.
Yeah, we'd call that silver nirvana.
Yeah, right? we were in nirvana down there. Yeah, that was pretty stinking fun, man, because you could watch them come around that corner and then come up over that little 8 to 10 inch rise. And once they got over that, here comes, and it was amazing to me, like how much water they push.
The other thing that's amazing, we talked about them getting pissed off. I mean, you want to put your fly in front of the wake, but if you don't get it exactly in front, they'll chase it.
Yeah, they'll chase it.
It pisses them off.
Yeah.
So if you're not right in front, you can see the wake coming,
turn.
And then they'll turn and go after your fly. That's an adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
That's the closest thing to dry fly fishing
I know.
In Alaska.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I did catch some on poppers. So you did.
That was awesome.
I did throw some poppers on top and just sit and pop.
Next year, I'm going to definitely bring floating line.
Yeah, and got them to rise. It's harder on sinking line. You've really got to put a lot of leader on
so that
your sinking line isn't bringing the fly down.
Yeah.
But I was able to catch some.
This guy's not going to be with us next year, is he?
No.
Going to be in Bonnie, Old England.
Yeah.
Next year.
We have to figure out the original mecca. Fly fishing and find out where that is in England.
Yes. Mark is leaving on a 2-year, he and his wife are leaving on a 2-year mission, 18 months.
26 months.
26 months to London, England.
Yeah.
Good on you, buddy.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
The Church History Center over there?
It's called the, it's in Hyde Park, right in central London. It's a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and they have a visitor center right there in London. Yeah. And so we'll be hanging out there. And
Hyde Park was famous back in the day for people standing literally on soapboxes doing their preaching, right? I mean,
well, we're going to join them.
Nice. I want pictures of you on like an old box standing.
But there'll be a fair amount of free time where I am going to figure out
where to go
fly fishing.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Yeah, Phil was just telling us that the origin of fly fishing was back there someplace, right?
Yeah.
I want to say there's a lady who wrote a book about it.
Helen Wolf,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I believe there's a book she wrote about going back.
One of the first books about fly fishing.
Oh, I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah. So, yeah, really good.
There's some good podcasts about it, too. Check out the podcasts on... the origin of fly fishing in England and check that out. Cause there's some interesting streams there.
I've done a lot of, I've read a lot of John Gearock's books. I don't know if you read John Gearock and, him talking about Atlantic salmon fishing or salmon fishing in, you know, like a good day of fishing in some of those places in Ireland and England is getting a bump.
Yeah.
Like you get a bump and that's a good day, you know? And it's like, you can go on a $10,000 guided trip and to some castle and not catch a fish, and you got to be good with it. So then on the trip, then the big event for me was the hike up river. Now your boys, I say your boys, your son Brady and
his friend
Alan was there. Yeah. They're much younger than we are.
Absolutely.
Much better shape. They do it every day. Every day.
There was a year, 2 years ago, where I had to fly in late, a day late. And so they decided to go upriver, do the, I don't know, we got down and I had 30,000 steps on my watch. So they went up river, came back down to pick me up on that afternoon flight from the airport, and they said, I think we have time to go back up. They did it 2 days. Again. That's probably, I don't know, what would you guess? That's got to be
I think
a half marathon.
I think the day we hiked up there, I want to say somebody said that we did
13 miles.
13 or, yeah, I thought it was 16, wasn't it? 16 miles or something.
And that includes, you know, hey, going over to this hole.
Yeah, you got to walk up. It's not a straight hike up.
You're fishing some of the way up. But yeah, they did that twice. Anyway, it's a hike.
It's at least 6 miles up there. At least six. Easy six or seven up the river. And it's not... When I say up the river, I mean
especially with the rain,
there's not a,
the water level.
Yes,
it's one thing to fjord the river on a normal year.
Yeah,
on an abnormal year, it's a completely different story.
Here is where being 6'4" comes in handy,
right?
what was the famous saying that you guys say? Tippy toe. You go tippy toe. You guys were having to tippy toe across some of those, so the water didn't go over the top of your rider.
Yeah,
because you actually hike up. And there's not exactly like this blazing trail to walk up, right? You're walking through busting brush. What you're doing is you're walking bear trails. And then you get up there, and then there's places. And how you guys know this, I have no idea. I guess it's the experience. Like all of a sudden you pop out, and then it's like, okay, we're crossing the river in order to catch the trail on the other side up here. And
I'm that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
You know where
there's a lot
that,
of river.
You do that crossing. Like five or six times, don't you?
Yeah. You're crossing the river, not to go fish the other side.
Yeah. You're getting
you're just back and forth back to where the trail
the
is.
The trail.
Yeah.
The trail literally goes through the river like five or six different times on the way up there.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
And in some places it's 4 feet, 4.5, 5 feet deep, and you're having to walk on your tippy toes.
Now talk about good equipment. This is where good equipment comes in.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I mean, you can spend the day miserable and wet or exhausted and dry.
Yes.
So
that's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
And when the water's high like it was this year, you're not, some years when it's lower, you can actually walk upstream.
Yeah.
This year, it's walk as far as you can on one side of the river, because you know when you cross, you're going downstream.
Yeah, no, right.
You're walking upstream.
Yeah. Right.
So you got to get way above the part point of the river that you want to come out on.
Yeah.
Because it's going to push you downstream.
Yeah. Exactly. But when we got up there, my gosh, that was just, it was just great for me because I had a great sense of accomplishment of actually like doing it.
Yeah.
Well, glad I've lost 50 pounds in order to go do that.
I always tell everybody, you know, yeah, Mark and Brady and Alan, they're going to go do this, right?
Yeah.
Normally I have Mike with me and you know, that might be a one time trip.
One time in a week.
One time in a week. Right? I might take Mike and go up there. But everybody needs to go up and see that.
Agreed.
Because totally it agreed. It is phenomenally a beautiful place.
Yeah.
It is so pretty. I mean, it's unlike anything you've ever seen.
Yeah.
The moss hanging off the trees and just beautiful river.
The rocks next to the river.
I mean, it is
clarity
gorgeous.
Of the water up there was incredible.
And then you can see
the Child's
the
Glacier.
Ice of the glacier.
The glacier and stuff.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah. It's absolutely gorgeous. And so even I was telling Kate and Eric, even, you know, had Mike come. And I didn't make that trip. I wanted them to go up there
we did.
With Brady and Alan and Mark and go see that because it's breathtaking.
Yeah.
So it's a bucket list.
Yeah, it is. It's what everybody should do. If you say you're going to go salmon fishing in Alaska, it is the quintessential Alaska trip. It's a hike.
It's not the Kenai elbow to elbow.
No.
We don't do that. And even my brother Cade had said, wow, that was a lot more work than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And it is. It is. But it's the adventure.
You're literally on an Alaskan river looking at a glacier, catching salmon in clear water, keeping an eye out for bears. All by yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
That, unbelievable. You know,
this year, with how hard it was to hike up, nobody. It was only our group up there.
Yeah. Yeah. That was awesome.
That was cool.
Yeah. And you're up
and
there.
In fact, Brady and Alan got to the point where they'd caught so many fish, they just started trying to get creative and find new ways, new ways to fish. So they invent this Alaska Tenkara fishing. And what that is they just broke off a stick.
Like a 5-foot stick.
Yeah, like a 5-foot piece of wood. And they wrapped some monofilament around it and tied it on somehow with a big heavy fly. And they would reach down into these holes. And next thing you know, they're
from the shore.
On the shore. And they're yanking these silvers out.
Silver salmon.
On this 5-foot stick. Right.
You know, down there where I got my place in Arkansas, we call that cane pole fishing.
Cane pole.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was just funny that you come up with these creative ways to, I mean, you're catching so many fish. It's like
you can get, you're not worried about keeping three fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's funny about that?
Three fish is easy, right?
Yeah.
It's like
that trip. Yeah. So I had to come home early. And as we're walking up the day before I left, as we're walking the trail, looking down at these holes with just salmon holding. And you know, you say, gosh, if we could only cast to these fish. So I fly home. The next text message I get is something like, we did it. And then I see a picture of Brady and Alan hauling this, throwing this fish.
Yeah, it was like a tuna boat type of deal.
Didn't break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because these are not 12-inch salmon. These are 12-pound salmon.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That they're throwing up on the shore.
And then they pack this little blow-up inner tube up the river because they know they can't get across at this one point and fish this side. So what do? They pack this little cheap inner tube up. They get up there. They blow it up. They go upriver, hop on the inner tube, and as they're floating past the hole, they're dropping it in there and
catching fish
out.
Yeah.
It's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But it's brilliant because, you know, anymore I think there's got to be a better way to do this than what we do, especially at my
age. I won't be able to get it done, but we got a lot of video. I'm going to put a video together. I should, at some point in time, I'm going to post the link to that video in
the notes of this podcast. It's hilarious. So but we ran into some guys who had packed up these blow up kayaks.
Yeah.
And so they packed them up. They were like 8 pounds.
Yeah, they weren't heavy at all.
They weren't heavy.
That's a great idea.
Packed them up, and they got all the way up to the top, blew them up, floated down the rest of the way and fished.
Yeah, great.
Oh, man. Yeah, what a great idea. And then even on the river that we won't name.
Yeah.
There's a boat ramp down at the slough where you can launch.
Yeah.
And you can canoe and you go right up that tributary.
Yeah.
And we ran into people that had just launched a canoe at high tide.
We hiked 5 miles down.
At high tide, the river's going the other way. It's pushing them upstream. So they go up and they go up this little tributary and they're having the time of their lives. I mean, they get these little kids, 3-4 year old little kids, just laughing, having a ball, you know, and then they hop back in the canoe and off they go back down to the boat ramp. And I'm like,
What were we doing?
Because we hiked in a mile and a half.
Yeah.
In bear country.
Yeah.
In bear
country. Knowing what's around every corner. Yeah.
And that's where we did run into.
Well, we did run into. That's where we ran into a couple of bears.
Yeah, a couple of bears.
We were standing. Yeah. Yeah, that was quite the deal.
You know, I say, and I told Eric this before, I've never ran into a bear in Yakutat. Not in Yakutat. In Cordova.
Yeah.
Never ran into one.
And you saw how many this year?
We saw seven, didn't we? Seven or something like that total as a party or something. Yeah. Yeah,
crazy.
Yeah.
And generally, you know, this is the thing. I love seeing bear, not really, but it's kind of cool.
It is cool.
You get the picture.
It is cool, yeah.
But then it makes fishing, you're just nervous.
Yeah, you just got
this. You're going around.
Your head's on a swivel.
And you're going through trees and your head is on a swivel. And you're like, son of a gun, there's that bear again.
Yeah. Well, and Brady and Alan, they actually, when they went to go cross the river that one time, there he was on the other side.
The day before
there he was.
Yeah. It makes it a little tense.
Yeah.
And I love Skinner's video.
Yeah.
Look how big that son of a bitch is.
Yeah.
Couldn't have described
Well, you know what I thought Skinner. About that too? If you think about it though, okay, they stayed on that corner.
Uh-huh.
You and I and Cade walked down the river and we went around the corner
to Silver Nirvana.
But if you lay a ruler down, where was that grizzly in comparison to where we were standing? He was right behind us.
Yeah.
Because that river went around the corner.
Yeah.
He was here and we were there.
Yeah.
Right around the corner.
Yeah.
He was not more than 25 yards from us.
Yeah. Well, and we had no idea.
And we had no idea because we were looking at the black bear.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Cade looks up and goes, holy beep.
Yeah. There's
a bear standing there. And it was 10 yards from him.
And you know what? My experience,
and they don't
black
care.
Bears are the ones that, they don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll come down and grab your fish. And grizzly bears, sure. Yeah, everybody's scared of them.
Yeah.
But I have yet to have an encounter with one.
And then we walked down to Nirvana.
Yeah.
And there was a nice clear sign that he had spent the evening there.
Yeah,
right?
Enjoying our catch. Yeah.
And then leaving the remains, all that. Yeah, so he had been there as well, so doubt about
it. They're there, for sure.
The other cool thing that just to kind of finish the story of hiking up the river all that way is that when we started going back down, Phil, I'm like, hey, isn't this the trail? Like, aren't we going to get on? And then I quickly realized, no. You stay in the water and you let the water push you down as you walk. And the walk down is much easier than the walk up.
Big time.
Because you're letting the water push you the whole way.
And of course, you're fishing on the way down.
Right.
You've got everyone has their limit in their backpack and we're still fishing.
We're still fishing all the way down.
So there's in this world, there's meat fishermen.
Yes.
And there's fishermen.
Yeah.
And so these guys that had the kayaks, the little portable ones, you know, we saw them. We were hiking on our way up.
Yeah.
So it was like at the latest 9, 10
in the morning. Yeah.
And they're done.
They've
hiked above us already and they're floating back down. I'm like, dude, just hiked with a boat on your back, 6-7 miles, and you're done.
And you're done
catching fish. Yeah.
I know.
And that's the thing, you know. With us, we'll stay up there all day. We'll wear headlamps.
Come out at dark.
Come down at dark, which I really don't recommend, and I don't like to do. Yeah. But you're catching, you know, you're catching 50 fish.
Yeah, 100. Yeah. Brady and Allen had 100 fish day. I mean, that's phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, and you know if you're just catching your three and you're done for the day, that's, you know,
that's okay.
That's okay. Yeah. That's pretty easy to do, and you can do it. Everybody can do it. You know, to me, that's where throwing the popper on.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was
and just trying something different.
Stick fishing. You know, you could try anything.
Try to get them to come up.
And the other thing that I found that was quite enjoyable for me is that when you did that, then I could go into my box and start pulling out flies that I tied and testing these. Like, I wanted to see if I could catch them on this fly or catch them on that fly. Or how well did I do on this one? Or how well did I? And there was a clear winner on what they were biting, you know what I mean? There was a clear winner there on what you could catch them on. But that was kind of fun to kind of roll through that fly box that I'd been working on for 3 or 4 months and try some of those things out. It was very satisfying.
Yeah. You know, my brother Kate, he's never tied a fly in his life. And so we kind of, you know, gave him some pointers and showed him a few things, and he tied up a couple flies, and he ended up catching fish on flies that he tied.
Yeah,
and that's awesome. That's
something different.
Super satisfying for him.
Yeah, that's,
you know, that's hey, special. I tied that fly.
It's a totally, you know? Totally new dimension to the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
Cool place. And
that's the routine, right? Is you go out there, you try anything. You know, over the years we've found colors that work, and so you try that. Each year is a little bit different, but then you come back, fish cleaned up, and then it's like, okay, get the fly tying stuff out. Even if we're not all tying, I mean, it's story after story as you watch people tie flies and try and talk them into, hey, tie me one of those, you know? I can't see anymore. Tie me one of those.
I can't see anymore.
I think that's the key too that I've noticed, and maybe this is something. Oh,
well, that's our 1220. Every cell phone in the world is...
Is that what's going on here? Yeah.
Somewhere. I don't know. Yeah. I just saw it in the news yesterday. 1220. Yeah. Every phone in the
whole world's going to go off. Yeah. And then the last thing is, I mean, just amazingly beautiful up there. I mean, the hikes that we took and you go through some of the places, like you're walking through an enchanted forest in there.
I know. The new river.
Yeah.
For this year.
Yeah.
What about that hike?
Oh my gosh!
Unbelievable.
So unreal.
So beautiful.
Like Disneyland, dude.
Yeah.
Like you were walking through Disneyland.
You kept looking for gnomes and fairies. And
the whole forest bed was just this soft moss, green velvet looking thing, you know, and these massive trees. And gosh, man, it was awesome.
It's awesome, but I would never want to be walking that alone.
I know. Well, and then Tom,
it's dark.
The thing, Tom would get off by himself, you know. He's like, I'll hike it all by himself. Like, dude, you know.
Yeah, Tom, he can't hear, so he would have no idea anyway.
Right, he's coming.
I mean, if that bear's coming, he wouldn't know until it's on top of him.
Yeah.
But, and he told one old boy that. He ran into some guy, some professor down there fishing on the river, and the guy said, hey, man, I just don't... A brown bear just came out 25 yards below me. He came out and looked right at me. Tom, he kept right on going. Yeah. And Tom says, well, I can't hear him anyway. And that was his answer. And the guy looked, I came down to talk to the guy, and the guy says, hey, your buddy, I just told him about it. And he said, well, he can't hear him. I said, yeah, he can't. So it wouldn't matter.
That's the way he's going to go anyway.
You know what? Hey, if you got to go, that's...
We're gonna have hearing aids in that present that the grizzly bear left for us. You know, that's how we're
gonna find we'll find Tom's hearing aids. So, I don't know if they work, but
no, it was really awesome. I really appreciate you guys.
Oh, it was fun. Those are. I mean, I think it's like, I don't know what it's like. Obviously, having a child for a woman, you know, but whatever's in their DNA. They forget about how painful it is.
Yeah.
And they have more.
Yeah.
It's for that. It's like that way for me. And I come back the day that I had to fly home, I don't think I could have made the hike. I mean, I was like just spent of three days of, you know, a half marathon. And, but you know, you get into these situations where you meet up with friends. I still scroll through my pictures and I'm like, oh man, that was amazing.
I just text Phil the other day. I said, it's only been a couple of weeks. I'm ready to go back.
Right.
I'm ready. Now was I ready to go do that hike again on Thursday as we went, you know, down the other, but no, I mean, when the one day into the new spot.
Yeah.
That was 3 miles in, 3 miles out.
Oh yeah.
And we did it twice.
We did it twice.
In the same day.
Yeah.
And we walked in, walked out, you know, and so.
Not that we caught a limit both times.
No, not saying
that. We just caught a few more fish.
Yeah.
Well, that's the beauty. You know, you have, you always, in my career as a passionate fisherman, you'll go tell, hey, Phil, I was up on the green the other day and we easily caught 20 fish. I don't know how many fish I caught, and I'm not a guy to count fish, right? But it was so good at these times.
Yeah.
Where we got into a hole way up high where they were just stacked in there.
Yeah.
And they're only in like 12 inches of water.
Yeah.
And you can see them. It's crystal clear water. So we're casting above them, stripping a fly down. That's when we put on a dry fly, a popper. We all caught a fish on a dry fly. And so the third day we were up there, Alan says, I'm just going to count just in this one hole how many fish the three of us take out of this hole. When you fish so long and you catch so many fish that you're bored at catching 12 to 15 pound coho salmon.
Yeah.
We caught 21 fish between the three of us in one hole without moving. We just took turns, you know, just, okay, you hook up, next guy in, hook up, 21 fish out of one hole. And, you know, those days, you know, when you start talking about those, I can't wait to go in, I guess it's 2027 for me, unfortunately.
What? Really?
Yeah. But hey, I'll expect a video and pictures of every year, guys.
Yes, absolutely.
Of course. I mean, we can't let you down.
I'll be weeping in London. I'll be saying, man, I wish I was there.
I was telling Eric before you got there that there was a time in the early 90s when me, you, and Mike and Ryan Wolf went to West Yellowstone. And we stayed on at a campground on the Madison River, and we base camped out of there. But we would get up in the morning at like 5 a.m., and we would leave and go wherever we were going. And then we would come back, and it would be, you know, 10, 11 o'clock at night, right? Nobody saw us ever.
Ever.
And so we go to check out of that place, and I'm like, hey, we're checking out of Site 31. Oh my heck, Jenny, this is the ghost campers.
They were there.
They never saw us ever. But I mean, we fished our guts out. We had a great time. We went into Slough Creek. We did Hebgen Lake Gulpers. We did the Madison. We did Osborne Bridge. I was telling him about Osborne Bridge that day on Osborne.
You didn't know which fly was yours? It was a hatch on. Unbelievable.
I've never seen anything like it in my life. To this day, I mean, it did you no good to try and keep them out of your ears and nose. Pretty soon you just went, screw it.
Yeah.
You know, because they were everywhere.
I'm going to definitely take my net.
They were kind of just slurping. They weren't like jumping out of the water. But the thing that was hard is when you would cast, you had to really focus on where your fly landed because it's one among hundreds on the water. And I'm sure we missed many takes, but you know, the thing about this and my wife, this drives my wife crazy. You'll go, Alaska is different, right? You bring salmon home but on trips like that. Fished hard 4 days.
We kept zero fish.
Yeah, right.
And we caught a buttload of fish.
Right.
And my wife can't understand that. Yeah. They go fishing. They turn everything back. And it's just the only time I keep fish is in Alaska.
Is in Alaska. Yeah. I mean, cause they're so good eating.
Yeah. Yeah.
Slough Creek. Oh man. What a place.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, there's no more camping in Island Park. You know that, right?
You guys are
done camping in Island Park.
We got a place.
We got
nice.
I know a guy that's got some beds.
I know a guy.
So
anyway. That's awesome.
All right, guys, appreciate it. Hey, thanks everybody for joining us on this bonus edition of the Manufacturing Stream podcast. And still, even though we talked about fishing, still brought to you by L2L, the connected worker platform that helps your company manufacture better. Go check us out at L2L.com. Follow us on LinkedIn.
And come fishing with us. Yeah, anybody come fishing interested, with us. Interested, wants to go, reach out.
Yeah, reach out. Leave us a
always
comment.
Happy to.
Yeah, we love to take people fishing. We love to show people how to go fishing. I mean, I've been fishing for years with Phil, and he even, you know, this is something new. This Alaska trip was something new for me. I've been to Alaska before, but this is a whole new adventure, not a vacation, but an adventure.
It's worth it, though. Cannot wait
to go do it again. So,
and we'll take all the new fishermen to the dump.
Yes, right.
Show them the what dump. A grizzly yeah. looks like,
and make sure the door works.
Yeah,
but I will tell you though, the one thing that I did think about is, and we had this discussion about like at what point in time will my grandson be old enough to go? I don't think he's there yet. I think he's got another year or two.
Did you guys see my Facebook post with Maggie?
Yeah, with Maggie. yeah. But that Alaska trip is probably a 15-year-old, maybe, huh? 14, yeah. 15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it like we did it, I guess you could go up and do it.
You could take it easy in a lot of cases, but there's
really
nothing
depends on
like,
how high the, again, yeah. water is everything, right? Yeah. So, you get a 14, 15-year-old that is not very tall.
Yeah, you could be.
He's going to struggle crossing in a few places. Yeah.
But in all the years that we've gone, when the water's been high, when there was one year when I passed you, you guys were leaving. Phenomenal year you had.
Yeah.
The day that we got there, it rained like 7 inches.
Yeah.
I thought for the first time in my life, I'm just going home. I'm just going to catch a flight and go home. We came back with 2 boxes of fish.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll find.
You find. Fish. You because find the fish
they got
to
go somewhere.
Yeah, they do coming. It anyways. They
you
don't care.
You just got to find them.
Yeah. It's you that's worried about the rain, not
exactly.
them.
Exactly.
Yeah. They're coming. We're so focused on the main rivers, right? The Ibex. Hey, when that water comes up, so do all those tributaries.
Yeah.
And those fish move up those tributaries.
You just got to find them.
Yeah.
And there's nothing like, in your case, with Cade this year.
Yeah.
Fishing with your brother.
Yeah.
Me fishing with my brother, me fishing with my son. I mean, it's just,
it's special.
It's bucket list stuff.
Bucket list stuff.
For sure.
Yeah. Memories.
All right, guys. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for being here, Mark.
My pleasure.
It was great, buddy. As always. Yeah. We'll get together again. Do this.
Let's do it.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us and talk to you later. See you.
Take care. Bye.